I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Because it's fun, isn't it? It's fun to get all the bits that nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
Hang on a second. When did you start driving?
Ages ago now. It must be 15 years ago.
I have not heard a single word about this.
I've kept it quiet. But it's it's ages. I'm quite good at driving now.
I'm sure you are.
Oh, you're gone. Oh, you're back now. Are you?
No, I'm here. Yeah, I haven't gone anywhere, mate. Yeah.
Okay. No, you vanished for a second. But I can do it. And I can, I've crashed into things a few times. I've backed into a tree. And I've backed into a pillar.
Yeah. But, well, they're cunts, aren't they?
Exactly. No, they're racist trees and pillars. But I've done that. And I like it. I quite like driving. It's all right. I remember being very impressed. I remember I don't know who we were with. We were getting a lift somewhere, and I was very impressed by the person driving us, just because they were able to do what an adult could do. And me and you sat there. We just didn't know we just sat there talking bomb to each other.
Was that the time that we? No, that was with Bennett, wasn't it? Was that not the time we went to Manchester and back?
Oh God, no! That was a different. Yeah, I remember that. We went to Bennett, but somebody drove us to. Oh, I don't know. Somebody drove us to. You know those gigs that we on a Thursday, and they'd be in the middle of fucking nowhere, like it'd be up near somewhere, and they'd say to you, "Oh yeah, do this gig. It's £100," and you go, "Do I?" And then it would get to the day itself, and you'd be like, "What the fuck have I done here?" And meet Giggles McGinty. He's a new guy. And you go, mm-hmm. Meet him at the Hammersmith flyover, and they'll drive you to the gig. It'd be like, well, they drop me home. They'll drop you back to the Hammersmith flyover, and you go, oh, okay. So I'll be there at 2 a.m.
Do you live under there? Good. That's what's always annoying me about, lifts arranged by promoters. It's good. Don't worry, we've got your lift back to London. Like, I've tied my bicycle up to the village fucking train station at London, and I'll just be able to do the 3-minute cycle home to my cottage in London.
In London. Yeah, and whenever anyone's coming to stay with you, they go, what's your address? You go, London. And they go, okay.
London.
Thank you. Yeah. I'll meet you there. Michael's House, London, Earth. And but I was always very kind of, I always thought anybody could drive was brilliant. And now I can drive, and it's proved that they are. But
well, there you go. You must feel like a grown up.
I do.
Even when you're crashing into things, you must feel a bit dangerous.
Or sobbing because I didn't get my way. It's kind of. It's just, you know what I mean? It's like I kind of have to drop people places now. My kids are at that age where they sort of they know I can drive, so they'll, if they want to go to their friends.
Oh, they've noticed.
Yeah, rather than doing what I did.
15 years.
yeah. Like when I was, instead of doing what I did when I was their age, which is get my dad to drive me places, they get me to do it. And it's only because my dad's dead that they don't. But if he wasn't, then I'd say, get your granddad to do it. Fuck off, you little. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyway. No. It's you were right to keep it quiet then that you're driving. You were right to never tell me.
Because, no, exactly. You know what?
I'm gigging in Brighton tonight, and I would fancy a lift home, despite you living in a different country.
Yeah, but I'd only drop you to London, so which is fine because it's really
right.
So, what's
exactly
happening in Brighton? Where are you going to Brighton today? Is it for Steve Grant or is it for the other ones?
No, it's for the other ones. The Secret Comedy Club. It's actually very good. It's really, really good.
Oh, okay.
It's a lovely gig there.
See, I don't get to gig in England as much anymore because it's not really worth my while. It's kind of like by the time I've
viable, is it?
It doesn't seem to be. It's like I keep getting lots of emails and stuff like that saying, oh, this gig is available. It's £150. You kind of go, yeah, but even by the time I've got to the airport in Dublin, that's already fucked me a bit. You know what I mean? It's like
doing a gig for £150 isn't worth it, even if it's in London and you live in London. It's like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I would do that if it was. Yeah, exactly that. And it's like, you know, and I'm not poo-pooing £150. You know, if I found it on the ground, I'd be happy.
And if you were on the ground, you wouldn't have to even.
If I was on the ground, if it was on the same ground as the money, and it was blowing towards me, I'd grab that money. You know,
sure.
You know, and I'd spend it. But yeah, I don't know. I sort of. I think, remember when we were youths and you'd be able to go into town on a Saturday and do like four gigs, but it'd all be about £180. Like you used to make loads of money.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. Oh, it's more difficult these days. More difficult.
Everything is. I blame the internet.
Yeah. I blame the bloody left wing snowflakes who run this country.
Yeah. Fucking woke.
Johnny, Let's start. Here we go. You ready to start?
Yeah.
Good start. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Leg Hole. It's me, Michael Legg. And guess what, everyone? Guess the fuck what? You'll never guess who has fallen into the leg hole this week. It's only brilliant comedian and incredible driver, Johnny Candon. Everyone applauds.
It is me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hello,
Johnny Candon. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm sorry. We're doing this a bit late, aren't we? Because as brilliant as I am at driving,
it's fine.
I've caught traffic. So,
well, I mean, you can't help. You can't help if everyone else is shit.
Exactly. If they'd only follow my example of being brilliant at the driving, then we'd all be fucking home now doing podcasts, which I am. They're not. They're all outside fucking. I don't know, whatever. Being woke or something. Can't say that anymore. Can you?
No, you can't even call people woke anymore. No.
Can't even call
even
them,
if you know, you've woken them.
They're in cars.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Johnny, let me explain to you what's happening here today. What's going to happen is, Johnny, it's a very simple premise. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And from the answers you get, I'm going to ask you them really quickly.
Too many. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to ask me 10 questions about what? Yeah.
Oh, but nothing.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you 10 questions. And from those questions, the answers you give, I'm going to put together a psychological profile of you. And at the end of the podcast, I'm going to give it to the police.
Okay? Yeah. So you were a sting.
That's the premise. Here's question number one. Keep in mind, you will be psychologically profiled throughout the entire podcast. Question number one,
can I
Johnny
swear?
Tandon.
Am I able to swear?
Do you want to do that now? All right.
Fuck. There we go. That's out of the way.
There you go. That's out of the way. You'll really have to up the ante a bit later on in the podcast then if there's any more swearing.
We'll be up
question
your ante.
Number one.
Right.
Yes, that's more like it. In
that's
a bum.
That's what they're tuned in for.
Yeah. Question number one, Johnny Cannon. Bob. Do you like sherry?
I don't think I've ever had it. And that's a lie immediately.
Me neither.
I do think. Yeah, I don't. I tell you what.
I'm not sure. Part,
I couldn't. Because there's port as well, isn't there? And I.
Yeah, there is port as well. Drink. I have had port. It's very much a Christmas drink, Johnny.
It is a Christmas drink.
I've definitely celebrated Christmas and I've had booze, but I don't think I've ever had sherry.
I couldn't hand on heart swear I have. I think, like, you know, pancakes are lovely and you only eat them on Pancake Tuesday.
Yeah, they are.
And you could have them whatever the fuck you like. I quite like Baileys. And for years I wouldn't go near it. To me, it just looked like someone had puked into a bottle. I thought, no, I won't be having that.
Yeah.
But then my wife, in the wintertime, said, why don't you have a little Baileys? The fire's lit. We've got a film on. You're an alcoholic. Have some Baileys. And I was like, you're right.
Oh,
I'll give it a go. I bloody love Baileys. It's nice. You wouldn't drink more than maybe two, but I mean, it's yummy.
I was going to say, halfway through the second one, you go, I'm never having this again.
Yeah. It's like it's like anything of that sort of taste. And it's like, you know, do you like custard? Yes. Well, kind of pour 4 gallons of it down your neck? Yes, you can. But that's kind of what Baileys is like. It's like juicy custard. But I don't remember. The question was, have I ever had sherry? And I don't think I have.
No, do you like sherry?
Oh, do I like sherry? I couldn't answer. I don't like the idea of it because
you're exactly the same as me.
Yeah, it's. And I'll tell you where
I'm not
from.
Sure I've had it. And where is it from? I know where it's from.
It's because I, growing up, mainly in the 80s, but a little bit of the 70s, watching telly and people who in TV shows you had to sort of a shorthand in the script for letting you know that they were a fucking cunt. Would be, they'd go, oh, Tom, sit down, sherry, like that. And I just thought, oh, God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and anyone who just went, sherry, as if, like, it was like sounded like an accusation rather than, would you like some? I just thought, I don't want to hang around with people who offer sherry to people. So,
do you know what you mean? Like, you can watch an episode of Poirot and you see some gentleman, but he's got blood all over his fucking arms and face. And Poirot walks in and he goes, ah, Monsieur Poirot, sherry? And you go, yeah, it's that cunt.
Yeah, why have you got bits of your wife all over you? Sherry? And it's, you know, so I just think it's, it just, I don't know, it's probably, possibly it's lovely, but I mean, I like beer, I like wine, as we've covered, I like a bit of Baileys. In the
like all exclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All the newspaper editors are now just tearing up the front page tomorrow. It's King is dead. Fuck, does Johnny like beer? And somebody, a million pounds to somebody who can get me a picture of him holding one. I think sherry's probably. Do you know what I might do today? Is go and get some sherry and. You can edit in a little bit of me going no.
Now, we're gonna have a sequel. We're gonna have a sequel to this episode. Ooh. So here's the thing: every single time I've asked that question, I should have told you the first question and the last question I ask out of the 10 questions, they're always the same for everyone else. But the 8 in the middle are all just for you. So I have to say,
cool.
You were the first person to honestly answer that question, which is. I don't know, and I don't think I like it. There you go. That
did
is
every
the honest
fucking
answer.
Prick that you've had on before this go, ooh, a little Timberland Christmas, and you go, you've
it's
never
either,
had sherry, fuck.
Exactly, and it's either quite a, well, I do like it at Christmas, or a, oh God, absolutely not. And I don't think either of those answers are right. So I'm putting refreshingly honest down in your psychological profile.
Thank you very much.
Refreshingly honest. No, that's fine. It'll get worse as it goes on, don't worry. Question number two, Johnny Candy.
I'm just going to have a little sip of my sherry. What a liar. Yep. There we go. Yum.
Question number two, Johnny Candon. Is there a gig that you hated at the time that you still think about?
Ooh. Do you know what? There are gigs. The short answer is there yes. Are. Question number three.
Good.
I'd say any comedian that you've had on here will have said possibly something about Jonglers Portsmouth or something. I think gigs fall into different categories. Like there's like, do you remember when we would do book club right in the Albany mm-hmm. and stuff with Robin and all of those people? Right? We never got paid for that, right? Every now and again, Robin would buy a pint or a pizza or something, you know, things like that. And you know, but I really cared about that gig. I would genuinely try and come up with stuff for that gig and hope it would go well. So I really liked it, and I always usually did, because the people in the audience are fucking stupid. Like, I mean, they're idiots. If any of them are listening, like, and any of them who thought that they were our friends, you weren't. I don't know you. I can't remember the names. I'll tell you who I can remember out of that entire group. There was Anushka, Patsy, and was Dennis. Those three, I like them, but they're only because I've just made them up. But the rest of them,
most people were made out of felt, weren't they?
And badges.
They weren't real people. They're made out of felt and badges and wool. Yeah.
And they come up and they go, I liked it when you talked about otters. And you'd go, why don't you just turn into a grown up? But they were lovely, but very supportive. So you could fuck about and have a thing like that. But we never got any money, right? But that was okay. I loved doing it. Then you'd have gigs that you fucking had to do because you had to eat and keep the roof over your head.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would be like, if I used to do Jonglers, like, and so you'd go to, mm-hmm. you'd look in your diary and you'd go, oh, to Jonglers Leeds this weekend. Not only is that a lovely Jonglers, that's a lovely gig, right? So, you know, you'd go off and you'd have a lovely time and Leeds is great and everything like that. But every now and again, you had to pay the fucking piper and you had to get down to Portsmouth, which is not only a steaming shithole.
Yep.
Actually, I was in Portsmouth recently. It's not that bad. You wouldn't
it's really not that good, though.
It's really not that good. Like, if you're passing through, you're doing essentially what Portsmouth is for, which is to pass through.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's there. But there was a Jonglers there, and that I remember being. I'm going to cough up my bloody sherry. You'd see that in your diary, and you'd be like, oh, fucking hell. But you knew it was going to be horrible. You knew it was going to be.
You definitely knew that.
You know. So what I'd do is I'd go on their website and I'd see who I was on with. And like 9 times out of 10, I remember a weekend down there with Alex Boardman and Gordon Southern and Gordon's girlfriend at the time, possibly wife at the time, Fred. And fucking up. Mm-hmm. We had the best time. Like, we went and played laser tag. We found this video game arcade that had everything. This thing called War's Aid. If you haven't, Google it. It's the best game ever. We played that. We played mini golf, which I fucking hated because golf is stupid. We just went to the pub at about five. Had some food and some pints. Stayed there till it was time to go to the gig. And so we went to the gig a bit pissed and died on our arses. That was on the Saturday. We died on our arses on the Friday, which was, you know, we knew was going to happen. Died on our arses on the Saturday. We danced out of the place in the best mood, went for more beers, went back to the hotel, more beers, went to bed about 2 a.m. So I look back on that. I remember standing on stage and they just fucking hated us, hated every single thing we said, everything we stood for. They hated me from the tip of my toes to the point of my nose. And they just, but you just stood there going, it's Jonglers Portsmouth. Who gives a fuck? You know what I mean? So I look back on that with a mixture of hating the audience, hating having to be on stage and, you know, just hating the situation. But I look back on that weekend as one of the nicest weekends I've ever had away. It was brilliant. And like, you know, even now, like I think everybody involved in that story, except for the audience, Alex, Gordon and Fred, I think are fucking some of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. So it's like, so that would be it. Hated the gig, but I still think back on it fondly.
That's a lovely answer, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
I'm going to put down lovely on your psychological profile.
Oh, fuck, I'm going to get away with
Do you remember the time that we did we did Jonglers Portsmouth, and we actively sabotaged another axe act.
No, but I want to hear about it. Who? What was that?
I'm not gonna name the act until we finish this podcast.
Well, I can't wait till we stop recording.
He's a comedian. Who?
Can I just say? I want to say that doesn't sound like us, but it so does.
No,
very good. Yeah.
He's a comedian that we knew that wherever he performs, he just does like put downs about the nearest town. Like if he was at Portsmouth, he'd just be slagging off Southampton, right? And we knew that, and we did every Southampton insult under the fucking sun, knowing that he wasn't at the gig yet and he'd have to fucking close. And of course, there he is slagging off Southampton, and the audience go, yeah, we fucking know.
Yeah.
Why are you
us being Portsmouth? Would we think you're actually being quite cruel to Southampton now? Because it's kind of taking a bit of kicking tonight. And do you know why he wasn't? I don't know who it is, and I don't remember the gig. But do you know why he wasn't at the gig yet? Because he was opening.
Yeah,
because
he was exactly slagging off Portsmouth. We knew that. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. That's
it is amazing.
You know. That's made me very happy. I like those today. Do you remember? Was it me and you and Ben Norris were at the? It was Jungler's Leeds. Ben Norris. Me, you, and Junior Simpson at the bar in Jungler's Leeds. It was at the Interval, and Ben Norris came. It was when the Comedy Store had a gig in Leeds for about 10 minutes, and
it
couldn't hold its own against Jungler's. Jungler's completely crippled the Comedy Store. It was just, if any Comedy Store people are listening, you gave it a go. The ambition
is
what you should celebrate. There's no shame in trying. But who was it that came? Ben Norris came into the into Jungler's to have a pint and hang out. Mm-hmm. He's gone, oh god, no, what happened was our comedian at the Comedy Store came in for a beer and was going, oh my god, I feel a bit bad for who's coming after me, because I smashed the fuck out of that. I absolutely nailed it. It's like I was first on at the store and I just kicked it out of the park, and we were all like, oh okay, it's like a mechanic coming in going, I'll fix that tire, you're like, going, yeah, good, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well done. But if a mechanic came in,
that is your job. Yeah.
If the mechanic went, I tried to fix the tyre, the car exploded and blew me over a wall, and I landed inside with a pack of wolves who started to tear me to pieces. And as I was being torn to pieces, I saw my wife fucking a guy in a corner. Then you're going, oh my god, mate! You know what I mean? That's a story. But isn't really a story. But so this guy, like, who had redefined comedy, had his drink and fucked off. And we're thinking, I'd stay out. You know, if I basically made people think twice about with my sideways glance at life, you know what I mean? I'd be hanging around. Anyway, he goes, and then Ben Norris comes in about sort of 20 minutes later, and we're like, how's the story? And he goes, ooh, it was all right after, it was eventually, but Jesus Christ, Bleep was on first. Died on his fucking arse. They fucking hate you.
Yeah.
And we're all like, why didn't you just come in and say that? It's just such a better story than I did good. And then, it's happened to everybody.
Of course it has. Of course. But here's the thing. I've just remembered the guy that I'm not going to name. I've just remembered another story about him that was brilliant. He turned up at a gig at like almost at the end of the Interval. So the compere and two acts had been on, right? And he just looks at the audience and he sees there's a man sitting at the front at a table on his own. And he's wearing a tuxedo, and it was back in the smoking days, and he's smoking Panatella cigars, like really slim cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
This guy, who I won't name, turns to the other acts and goes, fucking hell, I assume you've all torn him to shreds tonight. And they all sort of look out and go, well, no. He's like, why would we? Like, he's just sitting on his own. It doesn't really matter, does it? Because look at him. He's fucking wearing a tuxedo. He's fucking smoking cigars and he's on his own. They go, right.
Gold.
Anyway, so the compere comes back on, does his bit, brings on the final act. The final act comes on, excited to take fucking a bit of flesh off this poor guy sitting at the front. And he goes on, slags the guy off for sitting on his own. It gets nothing from the audience. So he slags him off for wearing a tuxedo and tells like, oh, it's James Bond, blah, blah, blah. No laughs whatsoever. And then eventually he goes, only joking, mate. Only joking, mate. Seriously, what's your name? And the guy goes, do you know the difference between you and I? Already, that is fucking brilliant. It's so damning. Right? Do you know the difference between you and I? And he's and like this comedian's gone, ooh, listen to him, ooh. Still getting no laughs. He goes, now, go on, mate. Tell me, what's the difference between you and me? He goes, I'm diamonds and you're shit. Fucking hell. It goes without saying, the half hour of time that that guy had to do on stage, it really dragged.
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell me it was a ghost and that nobody else could see the person smoking cigars. Do you know what makes me howl is exactly that. It's when, sometimes when you see a comic, he's Mr. sort of chirpy fucking. There's nothing wrong with that. Like, I mean, you know, being on stage all happy and stuff, it's all grand. But when they're sort of being like a bit of a cunt for no real reason, that bloke's just sitting there. It doesn't matter what he's wearing or what he's smoking. He can do what he likes. You know, and it's like, it's just like ping, 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 ping. It's when the person speaks back to them like a grown adult. It's like, do you know what the difference is between that? You're like, I wish you'd just told me to fuck off because then you'd have been rude and I could have played with that. But no,
I wish you'd stabbed me in the abdomen exactly. Rather than this.
If you'd thrown your chair at me, I'd have had some, the audience would have been on my side. But now the status has shifted. Everybody thinks I'm a prick and I've got to talk about politics because I assume that's what he did. If this is the person we're talking about.
Sure. But, Yeah.
But, oh, bless him. But, I mean, that's... So, those gigs... I mean, the thing is, I sort of miss that... Because, like I said, I don't really... I do gig in England a bit, but, I mean, it's few and far between, and it's like, you know, it has to be worth my while. Not being a money-grabbing bastard, but I don't want to cost myself money to go and do it.
No,
gig.
In a sexy way.
Yeah, so... But, I mean, I gig all the time over here, in Ireland, where I live. Stay the fuck out. Not you. Mm-hmm. You can come. But that was aimed at no one, by the way. That came across slightly racist. And I meant it to come across as really racist.
I understand.
But I think I do sort of miss those gigs where the circuit seems to have sort of shifted a bit. And it doesn't... Like, can I ask you this? Right, I know this is questions for me, but do you...
Sure. Gigs...
You remember... Like Jungle's being a prime example, but like the Glee and the Stand and all those kind of things. Are there many gigs around now where you can sort of go away for 3 or 4 days over a weekend and just be in the same hotel?
Not anymore.
People.
Not anymore.
Yeah, see, that upsets me. I loved all that because, I mean, you would, every now and again, you'd kind of end up with some cunt that you just thought, oh, God.
Of course you would, yeah.
You know. And but then that's how you can tell as well if somebody doesn't like you. If you say to them on a Saturday or say Friday night, you go, you're all heading back to the hotel, and you go, oh, does anybody want to go and see a film tomorrow? And somebody goes, oh, I've got a right. And you go,
yeah, I've got some work to do. I've got some work to do.
They hate
that's
me.
It. It's like, yeah, those are the two clues that you're hated on the circuit. One, if you hear. I'm working, so I can't hang out with you. Right, that person hates you. The other one is, if you leave the dressing room and you don't hear cunt, they probably think you're a cunt.
Yeah, if they call you, exactly that. Yeah.
If they call you a cunt, then you're probably not a cunt. If they don't, you're definitely a cunt.
You're definitely a cunt. Yeah. I'd say that's the two. That's science as well. Yeah. I don't think anybody could argue.
That's science. Your move, Robbins. Anyway, question number three.
Did you see he's invented science?
He did. He invented science and
reading.
He wrote
a book about it and everything. It's called Science, Science, Science by Robin. And he just loves science now.
Science, that's all mine. Yeah. Question number three, Johnny Candon. I can't believe it. We're nearly half an hour into the podcast. It's question number three. Johnny Candon, have you ever considered writing Kroll 2?
Krull 2, as in Krull, the movie, or the power of Krull, Doctor Who?
No, not fucking that. No, the movie Krull.
The movie Krull.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Now,
I will put that down.
I'm gonna put it into context. I don't think I've seen Krull. I think I've seen the poster for Krull loads in that.
Sure.
I think is it a
Liam
man?
Liam Neeson's in it.
All of, is he?
Yeah, Liam Neeson's in it. Francesca Annis, she's in it.
Oh fucking hell! I like Francesca Annis.
Of course you do.
I tell you. Is it sort of 1983, 1984, that type of
I'd say era? Something like that. Yeah.
Because, you know, we're similar ages. You know, you used to go to the video shop and video shop children, you woke cunt, it's like having a streaming, but you've got to go and buy the stream and put it into your into a machine, right? You probably can't say that anymore, can you? Fucking I remember going to video shops back in my youth, and you know, you'd be hoping to get maybe an action movie and then something with tits in it. And if you could get both, happy days, you've saved money. But but I remember your best bet for seeing tits was a kind of a sword and sorcery type thing.
Good tips here, guys.
Yeah, you know, it's like, this was well before we had iPhones where we could just type in fucking, you know, my step. Does it fascinate you how much porn revolves around stepmothers?
That was nothing. When we were kids, you were always
stepmothers were wicked.
Frightened of you were always frightened of stepmothers. So maybe as you get older, you confront them finally. By watching
Think they confront them. You wouldn't confront if she tried to poison you with an apple when you were five. You don't then become an adult and try and fuck her up the bomb. You know what I mean? There's different types of punishment.
Yeah.
You know, but I've given a porn step porn film a lot more plot than I'm going to write that.
That's good.
But it's long ago, and you see little Billy all tousled head eating, biting into an apple, and he falls asleep. And then he's kissed by a princess, wakes up at age 30, and like he's been in the gym, finds that stepmom and tears her a new one, and then fucks that new one. But what was the question? So I'd go to the video shop, and you'd be kind of looking for these sword and sorcery. I fucking hated them as well. I thought they were either nonsense. Well, I remember once me and my friend Tom, my best friend, we went to see. We went to the video shop with his big brother Robert, and we got something punchy, like, you know, something like before Lethal Weapon and all that, but something along those lines. And then Conan the Destroyer. And we were sitting in this, they had this in their house, they had a big living room and a smaller living room across the hall. And that was where the kids would watch telly. And so we were in there watching Conan the Destroyer. And his sister Maria came in and just went, she was kind of watching it through jaded eyes. We were all a bit 12, and she went, so like Arnold Schwarzenegger's chopping off a dragon's head or something, and she goes, ugh, what's this? And we went, Conan the Destroyer, and she left, closed the door. And then about 3 seconds later, his dad came pounding into the room and just went, what are you watching? And we went, what? What's this? And we went, Conan the Destroyer? And he went, oh. And Robert went, why? And he went, oh, Maria said you were watching the coal man that destroyed her. she thought it was about a bloke who'd come around to deliver the coal. Like ripping that woman's fanny open, but it was.
Do you know what? That's so fucking funny because, like, classic porn. Oh, the plumber comes around, the electrician comes around, and the pool guy comes around. The coal man never came round in a porn. No.
Well, no. Maybe porn's made in the 1930s. They did, but I mean, it's but we had Central Heating by then. So we'd go down to the video shop and we would try and get these things, but I'd always see posters everywhere, around and about, in the same way that you always saw RoboCop posters, you know, that way, and Cobra starring Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Krull was definitely in amongst them. And I remember, tell me if this, it looks like an album cover kind of thing. It's basically a man standing in a kind of a Luke Skywalker way, holding up a kind of a silver bladey thing that you can throw.
Like a sword, perhaps?
I don't think it's
a sword. Oh, yeah, like it's... Yeah. Yeah, it's like a circular thing. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, it is something like that. Yeah.
And he carries it around. I tell you, I might have seen bits of Crawl because I think he wears it on his belt. And even watching it, you kind of go, that'll just dig into you. If you're on a horse, that's going to shave your fucking skin off. You know, but I can't. If I have seen Crawl, it's probably been. And again, I keep bringing this back to being in a hotel after being out for beers after a gig. I've probably gone back to a hotel, bit pissed at 2 a.m. Bye, Alex. Bye, everybody. Bye, Michael. See you tomorrow. Do you want to go to the cinema? Oh, you're all writing. Okay. And then I go in and I put on the telly. And on film 4 or something, Crawl's on at 2 a.m. And I'm kind of watching it. That's probably how I've seen it. But it's never made me think to myself, there's more to be said. I'm going to write a
Francesca
sequel.
Annis lives in a web in it. She lives like in a spider's web. It.
Does she? Is she a spider? Is she the voice of a horrible spider, or is she a sexy lady living in a web?
I think she's the sexy lady living in a web.
See, I'm conflicted.
That's how I remember.
I hate spiders.
Maybe that's how I've chosen to remember. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, do you know what? Do you know what my favorite thing that Ralph Fiennes has been in?
Is this going to be
Francesca Annis?
Yeah, there we go. I forgot they were together. I forgot for a second. There we go. So,
Go on. So no, I don't want to write a sequel to Crawl.
We're running out of time. So fuck question number 4, which is what is your dream nightmare? Forget that. Here's the next
my
one.
My dream nightmare.
Yeah. What is your dream nightmare?
Racism.
You must have a dream nightmare, like. Oh, that'd be really awful, but at the same time, brilliant.
I'll tell you what nightmare I used to have when I was a child that was recurring, and I'll tell you really quick. I was running up the turret of a castle in circular stairs, and as I was running up, it got skinnier and skinnier and skinnier. So I was like pushing. I was eventually just going to turn it to a point. And I couldn't get up there. I was only about 5 or 6, and I couldn't get up. And the witch from the Wizard of Oz, the green Margaret Hamilton, I loved the actress, but she was chasing after me, and her fingers just kept grabbing my ankle, just grazing my ankle. I was like, oh, and I couldn't get away from it. That was my nightmare at the time. So that's all. So I look back in the same way as I look back on Jungle's Portsmouth. I look back on that fondly because I go, ah, oh, because I can see that witch now and feel very little fear.
I'm going to put down wholesomely childlike in your in your psychological profile. Question
Do you know
something, Johnny?
Let me just say something. I just realised the sexual undercurrent of the Wizard of Oz, because Dorothy succeeds because she's hanging out in the woods with 4 dudes or 3 dudes, right? And everything's tickety boo. The witch dies because she can't get her wet. So when she becomes sexually stimulated, she dies. There you go.
That's true.
Next.
I mean,
question.
I say that's true. It's bollocks, isn't it? But anyway, probably. Here's the next question. Johnny, you are in charge of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. How did that happen?
I do not know what that is. I guess it's probably some weird King Rolf type situation where everybody who should have been in charge of Tottenham Hotspur before me was electrocuted during a photo shoot, and I inherited it. I mean, as much as I know about football, am I allowed to sell it to someone?
Oh yeah, sure.
Well, then I am very, very briefly in charge of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club. And I am, for quite a long time afterwards, surrounded by Doctor Who action figures.
Good. Okay. See, I'll put man baby.
You say that. Something. I've got a fucking Davros sitting right in front of me that would make you fucking jizz your own bum off. So...
Do you know? Not anymore, mate. There was a time. I'm actually too sick of the amount of Doctor Who toys I have. I'm sick of them. It makes me feel ill.
Well, you're wrong. And I mean, I wish you well. Goodbye.
Question number Johnny Candy.
Yeah.
Which members of the band Five Star do you think you could beat in a fight?
Carl.
Yeah, definitely.
Antoine.
Uh huh.
Elizabeth Taylor, and then the other two would probably take me. The other two would probably be able to have me, but I can't remember much about Firestar. From what I remember, I think even at the time when I was a little tiny child, I probably could have kicked their fucking teeth in. So I mean,
all of them,
definitely.
Okay,
now.
So I'm going to put down doesn't hit many women in your psychological profile. Here's the next question, Johnny Candon.
That's not the impression I wanted to give, but fine.
No, sure. talk us through a typical half hour of your life.
Okay. A lot of my half hours now revolve around talking to the dog. In that, I was I was thinking about this earlier. I've got a little tiny office upstairs, right? And what I do is I'll be away like that. Just I know, yeah. It's just it's. You can say office. Do you know what? I take it back. It's not an office. It's a fucking room where my laptop is, and it's used for other things. So you know, I haven't got the movie posters of all the films I've made everywhere, and you know, my secretary's not in the corner saying he'll call you back. It's just
a room.
She's outside. It's just a room.
Yeah.
But every night, what happens is, it normally around about 11, quarter past 11 every day, I go downstairs and I make myself a little cup of coffee. But the place to myself, the temptation to watch an old Doctor Who is fucking... Do you know what I watched for the first time the other night was... I hadn't seen it. It was the New Jack City. You know that film about drug people from like about 1990? And it's got...
Never seen it.
It
does have Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, and I thought it was coming on, and I thought, I'll watch this. This is a film that everybody knows. I'll watch this, you know. It's all right. But Chris Rock is in it, and there's a bit where he's on crack, and then Ice-T helps him get off the crack. And then later on, he relapses. He relapses. Now, Chris Rock, I like Chris Rock. I saw him, he's played with loads of things and I like him. You know, I think he's not a bad actor, but he was a young man at the time, and he's relapsing, and he's holding this crack pipe, and he's staring at it, and he's pulling this anguished face, which is the fucking, I mean, never mind his comedy specials, it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, was Chris Rock trying to be gone, I don't want to go back up to crack, crack's bad, right? So, When I'm downstairs having my cup of coffee, that's my face when I'm trying to fight the urge to put on like a Peter Davison Doctor Who. I think you've got shit to do, go back upstairs, just do it. But I think I might have ADHD. You know, everybody has ADHD now. Do you know that way?
Yeah.
They're not just undisciplined fucking twats. It's like, I kind of go, I could do that, or I could go back and do what I've been asked to do. So, but I go down and I do that for a while. I struggle with Peter Davison, and then the dog will be there. And if I get downstairs, he'll jump up on the sofa beside me and I'm swigging my coffee. And genuinely, I have a conversation with him every day where I just say, have you got any gossip? And then he'll just look at me and I'll go, no, she didn't. And then he'll just keep looking at me. And I go,
That is a very good half hour of your life, though.
Yeah, it's a very good half hour of your life. It's lovely. Yeah. And he looks at me. We're doing it today. And I was pretending he was telling me all the salacious shit about somebody. And I was going to go, well, no, keep that to yourself, because if he finds out, you know, he'll kill you. And then he just licked my eyebrow. I just went back to work. So that's a good example of a half hour. But if I could spread that out to 24 hours, I would.
Okay, I'm going to put down delicious to animals.
Yeah, fucking right.
In your psychological profile.
Thank you.
Johnny, question number eight. See, now we're fucking firing. Question number eight. Johnny, you live in Innisfarin. So did you see any of that stuff between Colm and Padraig that actually happened?
I did. Well, I don't live in Innisfarin. I live in something similar sounding. In Innisfarin, do you mean in Ireland? Yes. I thought you really impressively remembered the name of the road I live on. I was like, oh, that's not far off. But stay the fuck away, you fucking weirdo book club fucking. Don't come here. No, you can't have your fucking...
Yeah, why did you say that? You're the one who fucking basically gave your own address away.
I gave my fucking address away, yeah. And I've got... Do you know what I've got? I've still got some fucking... what's that fucking film that has the man from Arrested Development in it? And it's made by Edgar Wright. I think it's made by Edgar Wright. Everybody liked it at the time, and they didn't like it. It was shit. It's... what's it called? It's
Baby
it's
Driver?
No, it's really violent, and it's a bit where it's like they're fighting, but it's like a video game fighting thing, and it's got Michael Cera,
Scott Pilgrim
versus the world.
Scott Pilgrim.
Somebody lent me the Scott Pilgrim books, and I went, read these. You like comics, and I was like, that's like handing someone fucking Crossroads from 1970 and go, here, watch this entire year. You like television. You know what I mean? It's like, so I went
it's
home.
It's not great, is it, Scott Pilgrim?
It's fucking nonsense. I just know it's stupid, and I didn't like it. I read about 4 pages and went, fuck it. But you know where those Scott Pilgrims are? In my attic, because I'm convinced that one day I'll have the opportunity to give them back to whoever lent them to me. And I haven't thrown them away. I don't think you could hand them away. I think it's, you know, it's they're not for me. But the question was what?
I like the answer.
Okay, doesn't matter what the question was. That's the answer.
I'll put down rambling. Oh no, hang on, charming, because that's what rambling is in Ireland, isn't it?
That's
charming.
What we do. You ask somebody a straight question, and they give you a fucking parallel answer that has nothing to do with the information you want.
Johnny Candon, this is question number 9.
Bring it,
Johnny. Hollywood is rebooting The Shawshank Redemption to start a new movie franchise.
Yeah,
and they've asked you to recast the film using only your kids' friends from school. Which of your children's friends would play which character? So let's start with that.
Andy would be played by Clodagh, my daughter's friend, because she is she's a very cute, innocent kid, but you do sort of think that you could possibly think if she was accused of murder, you go, did she? Didn't she? Did she? That's
Clodagh.
Red, is that Morgan Freeman's
Red
character?
Let's go with Red.
I would put Jack, my son's friend Jack, because he's sort of wise beyond his years. Although in the film, beyond his years doesn't really apply because he's fucking old. He's wise for the appropriate amount of years in the film. But Jack's got a kind of a, he's probably, how old would he be now, 15? He's one of those people who, he sort of comes out with things now and again that make you just look at him and go, yeah. Or you just laugh because he's quite a funny kid. But I mean, And then the guy.
I forget that your kids aren't little kids. They're like 40.
Their kids are small. But it's, you know.
Okay, what about Warden Norton?
Is he the guy who shoots himself?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, sorry to anybody who hasn't seen The Shawshank Redemption. Andy escapes through tunnels of shit and Red finds a box of money in it. You don't have to watch it now. The warden who shoots himself. Which of my children's friends do I think?
Yeah, which
most
of your children's friends would be best at shooting themselves after
suicide,
regretting doing a terrible thing?
I don't think he regrets a thing. I just think he's not happy to be caught. I don't think he wants to. I don't think he wants to fucking, you know.
Maybe that'll help you choose the child of your child's friends.
I'm going to say Oisin.
Oisin.
He doesn't handle stress well.
Right. Well, then he sounds perfect.
I just hope that nobody in my country listens to this.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. No one listens. Haywood. Do you remember Haywood? Haywood's the character who's a bit... He's like... Well, I mean, they're all rough because they're prisoners, and prisoners are all rough, as we know, Johnny. But he's the one that forces Andy to blow him.
Oh, this is easy, actually.
Sure.
From memory, I would say it's... Well, from memory and in order, I'd say it's...
Okay.
I'd start with... I don't know. I don't... I'd see, the thing is, at the moment, you kind of go... If you're giving them a lift anywhere, first of all, you're not allowed to talk. You're told... But my kids just go... they'd like going to shopping centres because they think they're American.
Sure.
And they go, can you take us to the mall? And you go, no, because I can't afford the flights to America. I'll drive you to the shopping centre. They go, me and my friends are going to Dundrum, which is this massive shopping centre, which is loads of fucking stuff. And you go, oh, all right. And they go, can you bring me? Yeah. And then you're driving up there and you're going to pick up the first kid in the car and they go, don't talk. And you go, all right. So you get it. They get into the car and they, being polite, the other children go, hello. And I go, hiya. And I just get this fucking glare from my kid. So I think so. Basically, the thing is, all of them are quite sullen and quite, and they just mutter to each other. So I don't. And if you say you've got any girlfriends, anything like that, you just nobody shut up, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't know which of them are into sort of blowing or kissing or anything like that. But I'm going to say none. I'm going to say none, just in case somebody does listen to this.
I mean, that's good card conversation for next time. What about Brooks? Do you remember Brooks? He got out of prison. Yeah, he got out of prison.
Brooks,
then hung him.
Maybe we should. I thought you just got off on a conversational tangent.
Yeah,
I'd say Brooks. Brooks is the. Well, you see now, there's an awful lot of suicide in this question, and I'm going to say Oisin Murphy again because again, it's like he's just, you know, he's like that kid who walks around in cartoons with a rain cloud over him. You remember the Pink Panther that used to happen?
Yeah.
That's him. So, So, that would be Brooks and the Warden.
I'm gonna put down big time theatre producer. Because it seems like you cast that really well.
Thank you.
Last question, Johnny.
Fucking
in many ways, could be the most important question.
Cool. Is this the one that everybody gets asked as well? This is another one that everybody's answered.
Yeah. So, okay. Question number 10, Johnny Candon. Uh-huh. What is Leghole?
It is, so far, 48 minutes and 52 seconds of wasted time for whoever has listened to this, because basically they could have just come and sat behind us on a bus. or in your house or in the pub. I think it's a state of mind, man. No, it's a lovely thing.
I believe the first one.
Well, yes, but no, it's two friends just having a natter. That's what it is to me. Did anyone
put down massive queer penis? Like you have a massive penis, not that you are one. I just thought I'd put that in there. You know, that you've got a big dick. I just thought that would help the psychological... I just thought that would help the psychological profile.
I think it's better if you say that, because if you say, what is leg hole, and I go, it's over a massive cock, then it just sounds a bit boastful of me. And
But it's and true. That's I'm not fucking, what you are!
I'm hung like a fucking... Oh, my God.
Tiny ego. I'm putting that down in your psychological profile. Massive penis, tiny ego.
Yeah, exactly. It's all the blood from my ego is in my dick.
Fucking hell, mate. I hate being around you when your ego gets hard. It's horrible.
I know. I'll tell you. It gets swole. Although you probably can't fucking say that anymore either. It's like just fucking... But can I ask, has anyone ever just given a really fucking... Because that was probably the best answer you've had for that question. But has anybody ever just gone, oh... Have they tried to be serious? Gone, do you know what...
No. But do you know what's happened? You know the first question, do you like Sherry? The first question used to be, do you like me? And I had to change it because practically everyone answered it straight. And I was like, I'm not having this anymore. It was just like, oh, of course I like you. You were really... First time I met you, you were really good.
Oh, awesome. Sorry, I thought...
I mean, thank you to everyone who's been on the podcast, but seriously, fuck off. And that was supposed to be a joke.
Yeah.
It backfired. Not everything lands, as they say these days.
Do you like me? It's like, that's... See, I think I like you, but the thing is, that's not me. That's not me pretending to have to.
Yeah.
Which, I'm not going to lie, some of them probably did. Some of them probably did. You know, you can't...
Exactly. And that's what hurt the most, Johnny. Because I chose people that I don't like. So to hear them lie about liking me, it's like, I fucking hate you even more.
Yeah.
Fucking Jamie D'Souza.
Jamie D'Souza?
Exactly, mate. Thank you. Well said. Johnny Candon, that is the end of Leghole. I'm going to look over your psychological profile right now, and I can tell you this now, Johnny. You are refreshingly honest, lovely. You don't like Kroll. You're wholesomely childlike. You're a man baby. You don't hit that many women. You're delicious to animals. You're rambling. You're charming. You're a big-time theatre producer with a massive penis and a tiny ego. And all those things come together to make our good friend and brilliant comedian, Johnny Candon. Everyone applauds.
Hooray! And can I just say, before anybody gets hurt feelings here, I was only pretending to not know who Jamie D'Souza is. I know him well. He studied at Cardiff University, and he went to Thamesmead School, and he's from Shepperton. So,
that,
good old Jamie.
Do you know that's how I always refer to him? Yeah, that's
Jamie.
If anyone ever says, Jamie, who? I say exactly what you've just said.
Yeah, I call him Jam Jar. He loves that. I call him Doctor Who's granddaughter, Sousa. You know, it's all... he loves Jamie, born in 1995, supports Arsenal. So
I call him Mrs. Brown's boys, D'Souza, because it's a bit like the movie. Yeah.
It is very like the
movie. He loves that.
Loves that because he loves Mrs. Brown's boys. So
yeah, he does. Who doesn't?
Bless him. Jamie D'Souza.
Name one cunt that doesn't like Mrs. Brown's boys. Johnny, thank you so much for being on my humble podcast with your massive penis and tiny ego.
Thank you very much.
It's not like we were in the pub where it's really good, but it was fine, wasn't it?
It's. Do you know where my wife is right now? I'm asking everyone. No, it's.
Do you know what? You just reminded me of something. Let's end with this. Do you? Because you said Pancake Tuesday right at the beginning of the podcast. Mm. Do you remember? You just screamed it at me. Yeah. Do you remember when Dan Mersch and I went over to Dublin to see you and it was Pancake Tuesday? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Because do you remember the next day?
I think it was
Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
The next day was Ash Wednesday and Dan freaked the fuck out because he's never been to Ireland on Ash Wednesday.
Yeah, now, in fairness to Dan, people were doing odd shit. It wasn't like he did, you know what I mean? It's like, for anybody listening who doesn't know what Ash Wednesday is, it's where you go to church and the priest gets some ashes and smears them on your face in the shape of a cross, right? So, you know, for Dan to find that slightly out of order is fine.
It's completely fair.
Do you know what my favourite thing about Dan being here, though? Is that, like, do you remember we got here and we were sort of, because it was ostensibly to try and write our show that we're going to take up to Edinburgh, and he was going to direct it. But within about 10 minutes, we kind of went, do you know what? We should address the elephant in the room and just go to the fucking pub, get that out of the way, and then we can do some work tomorrow. And we were going to go into town, and we went across to my local pub, the Village Inn. Try and find me from that fucking book club. Anyway, we went in there, and it was about, I think it must have been about 2:30, 3 o'clock or something. So they were finishing up lunch. Me, you and Dan were sitting in the corner just with some beers. And the lady, who, this is what reminds me of Dan, because every time I see her in there, it reminds me, it makes me smile, is that this lady came over and she had this tureen of soup and some bowls. And she came over and she went, do you guys want some soup? Now, what happened was that lunch had finished. So they'd some soup left over. That rather than throw away, they thought, we'll just give it to these people. Maybe they'd like some free soup. I'd had lunch. So I went, I'm fine, thank you. Uh-huh. You went, I'm all right, thanks very much. And Dan looked like a fucking... He looked like he just... His face went through every kind of emotion that was possible to have. And she was looking at him. We were looking at him. He looked at us. He looked at her. And he went, And then eventually one of us went, Dan, do you want some soup? Yeah. And he went, no, it's fine. And she went, all right. And she went away. And we were like, what did you do there? And he goes, I didn't know what the answer was. And it was like... Yeah. Did you want soup? And he goes, no. I went, well, then the answer's no. And he goes,
To be fair, no one comes up to you in a pub and asks, do you want soup?
No,
I think it was his first time to be asked that question in a pub.
You'd think you would have the capability to decide whether you did or not. But he said he thought it was an Irish thing. So I think he thought that if he said no, the IRA were going to kill him. So,
Do you know what? The IRA were up all night making that soup.
They got the fucking chicken carcass. They made a beautiful stock. Oh my god! The fucking celery was like paper, Dan, and you just fucking threw it back in their faces.
They sieved it through their balaclavas, and you spat on them.
Do you know how many men are sobbing in a field right now because you fucking? Oh, Dan, fucking! But yeah, Dan. That's
what a letdown.
Generally, just what a fucking letdown Dan Mersch is. But I remember that. I was thinking, every time I see her, it makes me smile because I just think of Dan's little face. Bless him. Yeah. Do you want soup? Do you want to? Can I just start my answer by saying I'm really sorry for what we did to you?
It's not like she came in and spoke like fucking Irish. It was fucking plain. Do you want soup? And he's baffled.
He didn't know where to put his fucking face. His eyebrows were running around the place. It was just, and I just, but I didn't know what was happening either. So I was just looking. We all just stared at him. I just thought, Dan's come to Ireland to have a fucking stroke. You know what I mean? But it was brilliant.
No, it was good. All right, mate. Listen, thank you again.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Please join me again in the Lake Hall. And
I will.
Hey, listeners, by the way, the listener is called Neil. I don't know if you want to speak to Neil.
Hello, Neil. How are you?
And please join us again next week when we'll have some other cunt.
Do we know who that's going to be?
No, never do. I figured it out sort of like about 10
minutes.
Will
it be somebody else that you text the day before?
I imagine so.
Well, good luck to them.
It's
you
a
won't
good
be
system.
As good as me. But
no,
that's, you know,
no way.
No one is.
Right. I love you, Johnny.
Love you too, mate.
There's an awkward pause there between my I love you and your I love you, wasn't it? Really awkward.
Do it again and you can edit it in.
Okay. Love you, Johnny.
Love you, mate.
God damn it. God. Yeah, God damn it. God damn it. God damn it.
That's all you get. Damn you to hell.
Goodbye, listeners. Goodbye.
Bye, Neil.
Of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.